Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm one of your hosts, Bree.
And I'm the other one, Abby.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome back.
We sounded so melancholy.
It's a beautiful day to podcast. We are on season 8, episode 17 through episode 18.
We are
deep diving into every single episode of Grey's Anatomy. So if this is your first time listening and you want to hear about episodes before season 8, hit pause, go back.
Yeah, do it. We have been doing this for almost 2 years.
Yes.
And I feel like this is the peak seasons. I'm kind of nervous.
I agree.
What happens after these.
I agree. Like, looking back, like when this season was happening, I didn't really care for it. And right. Now...
it's the best.
It's the best.
Yeah. So it all goes downhill from here. We hope you join us.
Yes.
If you need more than just your weekly episode of Bree and I, you can go to patreon.com/theoncallroom, where you can pledge to be an intern, resident, or an attending, which is basically $2, $5, or $10 a month. And you get a ton of really awesome content. You get bonus episodes, access to our private Facebook group, once a month Zoom hangouts, and you can even co-host the podcast.
Which is very cool.
Yeah, we love to have our patrons scrubbing in with us. And yeah, our community is popping these days.
Yeah.
Especially with the new season being on.
Yes. And sometimes people will do a little threat.
Sorry. That was my chair.
a little spoiler thread while watching the new episode live, and people will communicate back and forth through it. It's fun.
I mean, it made me sad that I wasn't watching them when everyone else was, because I wanted to read them, but I didn't want to be spoiled. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say another great way
to support them. Tell them. How do we do it?
Follow us on Instagram at the On Call Room Pod. There we will post when new episodes are... posted. Oh, shoot. And maybe you'll see our little faces. Sometimes Marge.
Never really McCoy. He's too nervous for the camera.
Yeah.
But Bree does a really great job of recapping via the images that are what are those called?
Promo
images for each episode. It's my favorite time of the week. So follow us at the On Call Room Pod there. And then lastly, the best way to support us is leave us a review on iTunes. You can please leave 5 scalpels. If you have constructive criticism for us, shoot us a message on our website at www.theoncallroompod.com. But we love 5 scalpel reviews. And also news, we are on Spotify now too.
Oh, right.
Which I feel like if you're listening to this, you are able to listen. But if you have friends who are on like Samsung phones, please let them know we're on Spotify. Or if you just don't like the podcast app, because
it kind of doesn't work.
Right. I listen to mine on Spotify too now. So join us there.
Yes.
I don't know if you can leave reviews there or not. I need to look into this. If you can, please do.
Yes.
But that's our biggest news, right?
Yeah. I don't have anything else.
Do you have any news?
Not really. What about you?
Just got back from Honduras. I have many bug bites.
On your butt?
No, I am concerned if something on my boob is skin cancer or a bug bite.
Well,
meant to ask my doctor today, forgot, just remembered in this moment.
Yeah.
Really hoping a bug crawled down my shirt and bit me.
Ew.
But I have many bug bites on my ankles and on my wrists and my elbows, the backs of my elbows.
Oh, yeah, I can see them.
Yeah. So it's really disgusting because when, like, they're not poofy anymore, really, but when they are, it looks like your elbow's made of cottage cheese.
Ew.
It's honestly the most unattractive thing. And I have a tattoo here now, so that looked really gross as well.
Yeah.
And every time I would lean my elbows on the table, it would like...
Hurt or itch?
It would hurt so bad. Hopefully,
would you like put like back and forth on the table to itch it?
Itch? No, but my friend Wynn, we went out to dinner one night and he was itching his ankles and didn't realize that he literally... scratched off like a chunk of his skin. And he all of a sudden went to the bathroom and none of us knew. It's because he was bleeding all over the floor. So bug bites, peeps. I also hope I won't have dengue fever or Zika or any of that stuff.
Yeah, I hope so too.
There was many times like mosquitoes, because sometimes it's those no-see-ums.
Yeah.
But then when it was a mosquito, I was like, bah!
Don't want that.
But it was really great. Had a great time. I just love going there. It's really great. And there was a very, I feel like I shouldn't even talk about this because they'll come get me. They won't. But if you have ever heard of MS-13, it's like the biggest gang in Honduras. Mm-hmm. Their leader was in prison, and the place where he was being taken for a court hearing is literally like two blocks from where I stay is in like a guarded like colonia. So it has like, which it's guarded, but so there's like fences and everything. But like a block away is the courthouse, and there was a organized escape of him where the gang members were literally had custom military outfits made. So they looked like military people, and they said they had a witness to bring in. So there was someone they brought in with like a sheet over their head who was actually a person with 7 guns attached to them who distributed them to people. They got the guy out. His name is Porky. You can like Google this on the news. You can see the video too from the security cam. There were 4 people killed. And it literally happened a block and a half from where I was.
That's terrifying. Were you terrified?
It was a little spooky because we had like a curfew that night because they got away. Like Porky is MIA. No one knows where he is. But what I always say is it's different than like, so like in the States, you could go to a movie and get shot. Like in Honduras, like the only, it's gang drug. Like if you are not doing any of those things,
yeah.
Unless obviously if you're like, caught in the crossfire, but sure. No one there is like doing what people in the States are doing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so anyway, so no, I didn't really feel unsafe because I'm not about to go like join MS-13 or like, nor do I know anyone in it, but it was crazy.
Yeah.
The video is very spooky. So that was
really terrifying.
Yeah. But other than that, it's a beautiful country.
Did Jake know that was happening?
I told him, but it was Valentine's night and he seemed uninterested because he was where?
Oh yeah. He was with me. We were getting cocktails.
Because I texted him and he's like, I can't right now. I was like, okay, well, when you get home, watch this video. This happened right by me. And he was like, okay. And then I got home and I was like, did you ever watch the video? He was like, oh no. I was like, cool. I could have been abducted by Porky.
Yeah, clearly he had other things to do. Like drink drinks with me.
I think you should just tell our listeners what you did because it made me so happy.
Yeah, so Abby was in Honduras over Valentine's Day and John had to work on the weekend. So John and I had like tacos Thursday night for our little celebration.
Yeah.
And then I just decided to message Jake because earlier in the week, because I knew that Abby was going to be gone. And I just said, hey, both of our partners are like not available on Valentine's Day. Would you want to go out for drinks or dinner or, you know, whatever? And he was like, I think that could work. Let me just see or something.
Did he work that day?
No, I don't know. I don't know why he was who he was seeing with.
McCoy, his other girlfriend.
Yeah. And then he was like, yeah, this is great. And so he picked me up in his truck. And we went downtown to the Amway and we got a drink at the Lumber Baron. And then I kind of felt like I was having an affair a little bit because we were at a hotel, you know? Yeah. Like, it's not like we went to like a bar. We went to like hotel bars. This is where you take people that you're having an affair with. And then we went into this speakeasy like that Jake somehow knew a code to. I don't know how, but he does. I guess he signed up to get an email.
It's the best way to get a speakeasy.
Yeah. And
sign up for an email.
And yeah, we had a great night and we just like.
It made me very happy to see that.
Yeah.
Also, meanwhile, you know, I was just in the danger of MS-13, but it's fine. Also, I was trying to picture a world where like John and I do that, but I don't know. I would feel like nervous.
Well, I think
you and Jake were friends.
Yeah, Jake and I have been friends since seventh grade.
Maybe in like 6 years.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
When you, I don't know what you'll be doing.
What I'll be, maybe I'll be on vacation.
Yeah, without John and Jake will be with you.
Yeah.
Because you're having an affair. So John and I will go.
Yeah, and you'll talk about the fact that their partners are having an affair.
Yeah, we'll just discuss the legality.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. What else? What else is new? Valentine's Day.
It's almost St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, I don't know how I feel about that holiday anymore. Don't you usually make an Irish dinner, though?
I do. Yeah, that's
this
good.
Year, you'll be busy, like, moving stuff. So.
Yes. Oh, I haven't announced that.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I can now because I think it's because everything is going through.
Knock, knock on wood. Yes.
But John and I bought a house.
They are real adults.
Yeah.
Actually, you can be a real adult without buying a house, but they are...
We're really adulting hard.
Really domestic.
Yes.
They really took this engagement seriously.
Very seriously. I don't know what the fuck happened, but...
It's only February. You only got engaged January 1st.
I know, but it feels like 8 years ago. Like all the shit that's happened, it feels like a second ago, but also like
right.
so much time has gone by.
Right.
It's very bizarre.
You could be married in like 13 months.
Yeah. Which is
crazy.
I had a dream about, oh my God. Okay. I had a dream last night about our wedding.
Okay.
That like, first of all, like my bachelorette party was the like night before the wedding. So we were in Vegas.
Great. Just like that movie.
Yeah. And it was not great. And then we got back and we were like at St. Pat's
uh-huh.
in like the center, which is like, what would you call
it?
But what would you, to the listeners, like, what would you call that? Like the community center
yeah,
next
yeah.
to the church or whatever. And we had nothing planned for the wedding, but like guests were arriving. And I was like, wait, why are they arriving here? Like I said, I didn't want to get married in a church. And my mom was like, well, it's not in the church. And I was like, why are people showing up? And I was just like, I don't have a dress. Like everything was fucked up.
Dude, welcome to the world of wedding dreams.
Yeah. And then I was like, I just want to get married in your backyard, mom. That's all I wanted to do. And she was like, well, we're already at the church and we should just do it. And then I had this like, I should have had an oh fuck moment earlier in the dream. But my oh fuck moment was like, Abby and Jake can't marry us because we're in
because
a church.
Because they're not priests?
Yeah, because we're in a church. And you guys, as I thought that, like showed up.
With
and
our little binders.
Yeah, and I was like, oh fuck, oh no. And so I like went up to you guys and I was like, I'm so sorry. And then I was like, I'm trying to get my mom to let us go to her house and get married over there. John was nowhere to be found during any of this. And then I woke up. So.
I keep thinking about that dress from Christy Dawn that I want to buy for your wedding. And I'm like, is it too soon? Because my fear is I buy it, but then I wear it and then it's not special anymore.
Right.
And then I'm like, well, I need a new dress.
Right.
I want that periwinkle.
It's really pretty.
I feel like in the state of Arizona.
It would be beautiful.
Right?
You probably would look prettier than I did on wedding day.
No, I'd make sure to like do something to make me look really ugly.
Like a big gold bow.
Like terrible hair.
Yeah, just really bad hair.
I'm hoping my bangs grow out by then.
I'm hoping they don't.
I don't.
Just kidding.
I don't think they ever will. I haven't cut them in months and they're the same length. I think this is like, I can remember having hair kind of like, but it was like my chin length and it just never got longer. I just feel like these are never going to grow. Like when I had long hair, I had pieces that were like my chin length in the front and they never, so I'm like, cool.
These are forever?
These are forever.
Oh no.
Yeah.
They don't look bad, but I just know you don't want them anymore.
I just want them to be behind my ears.
Yeah.
And stay there.
And they don't.
Not yet. Hoping by the end of summer.
Maybe you should do some hair masks.
Yeah. Or like take something.
I've started doing hair masks every Sunday and I only wash my hair once a week now. What do you think?
Your hair looks fabulous.
The last time I washed it was Saturday.
No.
No. Yeah.
The problem is that when I work out, I get... Because my hair is short, it's completely wet. Like the only thing that is-
I wet my hair still. I put conditioner in it. I just don't shampoo it.
Oh.
So you could still wet your hair and do it and condition it, but just don't shampoo it every day.
It looks great.
Thanks.
Really, whatever you're doing seems great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. should we just-
How do we always get back to hair?
Because we're girly girls.
We're just two girls.
Gals.
So we're just two gals chatting.
I'm trying to think if I have any funny stories about Honduras- Other than Porky.
Did you pee in a bottle?
No, I didn't. I did.
Did you see big spiders?
No spiders. I killed a cockroach.
Ooh.
Really proud of myself. Haley knew I was coming, and so she bought me my own bottle of like Raid. But
yeah.
The Honduran Raid is like, I don't think it's allowed in the States. Like what's in it? And I woke up to pee in the middle of the night, which I hate doing because that's when they come out.
Yeah.
Is when no one else is around.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. And Wynn had left the living room light on. So of course I could see. Usually I like, it's dark and I just walk to the bathroom like not
Don't,
looking.
Yeah.
And of course I was like, oh fuck, there's a cockroach. And he was sort of like on his back and then crawling. He was dying. She's had her house sprayed.
Oh,
so
no.
I think it like was slowly dying, you know? But I just took that bottle of Raid and I killed it.
Put it out of its misery.
I sure did. And that made me really proud. And then what happened after that? No, that's really it. there was a lizard in her house.
I was going to say any lizards.
There was. It was pretty decently sized, like 7 or 8 inches. But honestly, like, welcome any lizards. Like, come in, eat the bugs.
Yeah, lizards are cool.
He was just on the wall. He didn't really move.
Yeah, as long as they don't, like...
I don't want them in my bed.
Yeah, I was going to say, like...
or my shower.
Parent trap where...
Correct, on my face.
Yeah.
While I'm on a floaty in the middle of the lake.
Have you ever experienced ever having bugs on you while you sleep?
A few times.
Yeah.
A stink bug once, which that, I think, might have started my trauma.
Yeah. Do you sleep with gnats?
Oh, there?
Yeah.
Oh, no. She lives in, like, a really nice house.
Oh.
I know. I think because people sometimes picture, like, I'm squalor in squalor. But she lives in, like, a home... That, like, I mean, it's, like, a very nice house. Tile floors.
So there's no, like, but well, because you just say there's just, like, bugs and stuff in there.
Yeah, just, I mean, same as how we get, like, you get an ant.
Or like a spider.
Or a freaking stink bug.
Yeah.
Like, the cockroaches are the stink bug of, but she gets, no, there's, like, it's really nice, actually.
Oh, great.
And every morning I would, because Haley doesn't drink coffee, which is, I always forget, and I get there, and I'm like, ugh, I need coffee. Kelly, across the street, makes coffee every morning. And like, we wake up super early there. And I, every morning, would walk over with a coffee cup and get coffee Aww. From her and with my almond milk and pet her 3 dogs and then walk back over.
Oh, that's nice.
It was like today I texted her and I was like, I'm drinking my really good coffee, which makes me a happy person. But like, I miss walking
across the way.
Yeah. Also, I miss the sun. The sun was nice.
Yeah. It was sunny here a couple days.
That's good.
It was cold, but yeah. There was some sunshine.
We're almost there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, supposedly the groundhog said good things. I don't believe him.
I think the groundhog was like, climate change. Yeah.
But I don't believe him because like after that happened, we had like a fucking snowstorm.
Yeah. One last thing I'd like to bitch about is that on my way home from the airport, I had to take an Uber, which I was like bummed to do. I need to find friends that will pick me up at midnight because like don't work normal hours.
Yeah.
Because it's always like a rush. There's not many Ubers on a Monday night at midnight. And like, everyone else is calling one. So I had to wait 25 minutes for one, which I was like, my house is less than 25 minutes from here.
Oh.
So it's just like, and then you're in the Uber and I had, it like pulled up. It was like, do you want temperature? Like what temperature do you want? And also like, what kind of atmosphere? It was like loud. Do you want to talk or not? And I wrote no talking because I was just fucking tired. I'd been awake for like 20 hours. She talked to me the whole damn way home.
Oh,
and just like, oh, were you on vacation? I was like, oh, kind of work, kind of vacation. What were you doing? Where were, and I just like,
it's like, I don't want to talk about this.
I wish I could have just, I almost wanted to be like, Atlanta for work. I'm a consultant.
Yeah.
And then, but instead I was like, Honduras. Oh.
Oh, what like, in Honduras?
Oh, God.
Open up. It's like the thing where you don't like to tell Uber drivers you're a photographer because they.
Because then they're like, well, my wedding photos, my daughter's getting married. What's your business?
It's so. Just like with my sister, she doesn't like telling people that she has, she has twins.
Oh.
Because someone always has a story of like, well, my brother's uncle's nephew. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. And you're like, great. Cool. Literally, there's nothing you can say, but like, crazy. They're crazy.
Wow. 2 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, well.
Ooh, I have one other.
Please tell
one other thing. My car broke.
I didn't know that.
But it's fixed. But I hung out with my parents all day on Sunday. It was very sweet. I hadn't seen them in a while. And so I was driving back to Grand Rapids and I was almost off the highway. Like I got onto a different highway and I like hit a bump and all of a sudden my car was just making this very loud noise. And I was like, huh, that doesn't sound good. But I was going up a hill also. So I was like, maybe it's just like
working really,
really working right now. We're nearing the end of our trip. But no, I got off the highway at my exit and I like went to accelerate. It was just like, I was like, oh shit. I think this is like my exhaust. And so it was so embarrassing, like driving home. Like,
so you kept driving?
Well, yeah, because it was like, I couldn't think any, I was almost home. It was very loud, but it didn't sound like anything was dragging.
Yeah.
And so I got home, I called my parents and my dad was like, yeah, but it sounds like you're exhausted. Like, were you able to like look? And I said, I tried, but it was dark out. And I was like, I couldn't really see. So I asked John to look at it in the morning and my dad called our garage in the morning. I know this sounds ridiculous that my dad does, but they honestly like him more than me and they'll get, if he calls, they'll get me in sooner.
Right.
And so, yeah, sure shit. John in the morning, I was like, when he got home from work, I said, did you have a chance to look at my car? He said, yeah, your exhaust pipe under your door is just cracked in half. It's like, fuck. So I was able to drop it off Monday night, but that meant I had to drive to and from work. And it was so
loud.
Loud. Like on our lunch break, like my coworker got into her car. I got into my car. Both of our car doors were shut. And I turned my car on and she whipped her head and looked at me and was like, oh my God, it's so loud. And then like the doctors were like walking out to the cars and I was like going through the parking lot and they were just, I could see their face just like, holy shit. But it's fixed now. It's great. But
Was it really expensive or not?
It was a $100 fix. They just cut out that piece and they rewelded it. I mean, I have an old ass car, so
yeah.
It wasn't like that big of a deal, but it's just like ridiculous having a super old car and being like, oh, my exhaust pipe just cracked because it felt like it.
And it's like, yeah, an embarrassing broken.
Yeah. It's like very obvious your car's not working properly, you know?
Yeah, right.
Just like, oh, you're like waving like in a fucking parade. Like, yeah, it's my car. I can hear it too.
Who was it that someone I knew was like horn?
No.
Malfunctioned where whenever the car drove the horn off.
No.
I can't think of who it was.
No, like, that's gonna be like an SNL sketch.
It obviously didn't like, they like got it fixed immediately, but they had to drive to wherever where they're just going like, ma, ma, ma. Can you imagine? I just have my blinkers on and I would just be like, with my hands, like, I'm not doing it. Hands free.
Oh no. Well, then I was so annoyed because my dad picked up the car. Oh, my sweet dad. I was like, well, I can just get it. And he was like, no, I'll go pick it up for you. And he later on was like, well, I just didn't want your car to get stolen. I was like, okay, fair enough, because it's happened before. We went out to dinner and then my fucking headlight went out. I was like, this is so annoying. It was literally just at the garage. And now I have to go take it to get a headlight fixed.
That's like Jake had a really shitty old car for all of college. And then he drove it until it exploded, essentially. I mean, like when he put it up on car jacks, it bent. And he was like, oh, I can't put it on jacks anymore. But anyways, we were gone on vacation somewhere and he parked it at my dad's house, but like on the street. I don't know why he didn't park on the driveway. My dad lives in like a very nice neighborhood.
Did it get towed?
No, but the neighbor across the street works for the police department. And he like, there were cops there because it was reported as a stolen car. Like, because the cop was like, that has to be someone stole a car and dropped it here. And it happened that like my dad was home and was like, oh my God, no, that's my son-in-law's. And Jake was so embarrassed. He's like, my car is so shitty that like a cop thought it was not real.
Oh no. I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, mine's not that bad.
No, yours is like a hip old car.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like those classic Subarus that everyone wants, but right. Are falling the fuck apart.
Exactly. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, pour a glass of wine. We'll take a break and we'll be back for the episode. All right. Welcome
to season one and all.
Season 8, episode 17 and 18. One step too far and the lion sleeps tonight. Wait, did I send you that Simba thing today? Wait, I want to read it. Where's your text? Okay. I sent Bree a tweet that says, Simba, my uncle murdered my dad. Pumbaa, sheesh, LOL. Simba, then he blamed me for it. Timon, yikes. Have you tried just not fucking worrying about it? LMAO. I honestly love this account so much. They tweet things like that all the time.
Lion sleeps tonight.
Do you want to read the part? Oh, you don't have it on there. The last one. This is the Titanic. Rose. Oh. Yes, I was on the Titanic. Guy. Okay, where's the diamond? Rose. First, I'm going to tell you about this boy. Guy. Can you just tell us where the best sex of my life, says Rose. I just love it. Anyways, that was a sidebar. Welcome back to Grey's Anatomy.
So,
you want to read the first one? Monologue?
Sure. I think you have these backwards, the monologues.
I think I do as well.
Okay, so one step too far. We're trained to be vigilant, to chase down the problem, to ask all the right questions, to find the root cause until we know exactly what it is, and we can confront it. If it takes an extreme amount of caution or we can overstep What? Oh, no. It takes an extreme amount of caution, or we can overstep ourselves. We can create problems where none exists. Our intentions are always pure. We always want to do what's right. But we always have the drive to push boundaries. So we're in danger of taking things too far. We're told to do no harm while we're trained to cut you open with a knife. So we do things when we should have left well enough alone. Because it's hard to admit that there's no problem to treat, to let it alone before we make it so much worse, before we cause terrible damage. Meredith Grey.
The lion sleeps tonight. We have a phrase in the operating rooms, don't pet the lion. It means no matter how nice the tumor looks, how small it is, how perfect its margins may be, it's still a tumor. It's still dangerous and it can bite. We've all heard the warnings and we've ignored them. We push our luck, we roll the dice, we play with fire. It's human nature. When we're told not to touch something, we usually do it even if we know better. Maybe because deep down we're just asking for trouble. Mm-hmm. Says Nemo when he touched the butt. All right, let's do it.
Shotgun workup. Do you want to do it or do you want
me? I'm going to let you tackle this one. Okay. Look at all those big words.
We have Irene. She has
a urinary incontinence.
Thomas Peterson has a brain bleed, pericardial tumor, hip dysplasia, sepsis, ileocolic fistula, nice. Hemorrhagic hydrocephalus, retinopathy of prematurity. Fuck me. Lori Boson? Boson? Arachnoid rules, cyst? Is that like a...
The new rules, you have to say everything, even if it's wrong, with the most confidence, as if you are a doctor.
Meningioma. Aphasia. Michael, car accident and injury.
Oh, boy.
Ball. Mauling injuries, lacerations. Naomi, bites to neck and abdomen. Martin Carroll, anterior lateral myocardial infarction. And Emma Carroll, no diagnosis, but she dead.
Did you write
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Rest in peace, Emma.
Oh, so sad.
Honestly, too much old dead people.
Yeah.
Okay, round.
You know what?
What?
Grey's Anatomy has taken it one step too far.
Fuck you, win! All right. That was good. If you just said it normally and then...
You were like, you didn't get it. You looked at me like, should I laugh?
I was like, why are you saying this weird wise phrase? All right, I'm going to get the other one in. Okay, rounds.
Get it in.
We have Christina accusing Emily of cheating, finding out Owen is definitely cheating on her, but with someone else. We have Derek letting Meredith back into Neuro and her and Lexi's mess up. We have Richard caring for his wife, declining a date with Catherine Avery. We have Alex taking himself off of... What's the intern's name?
Morgan, I think.
Yeah, and her getting attached. We have Lexi wanting to tell Mark how she feels. We have Arizona and Callie talking about their exes. And we have Teddy coming to terms with being a widow.
Okay.
I just want to say,
yeah,
it's very hard to watch these. And then I watched Current Grey's, where like Richard and Catherine are breaking up.
Dude, I have notes about that.
Mm-hmm. It was like...
Oh.
It was super bizarre. I was like... And in the newest episode, there was also an old couple.
Yeah.
And so I might get them confused tonight.
That's okay.
Okay.
I will correct you. My first note is, Christina is snooping.
Yeah, I wrote she's stalking him. I also wrote I love their loft.
Oh, yeah, their loft is very cool.
I'd love to live in, like, a studio loft, but a dope one. Like,
yeah,
that.
But would you want to live in one with a partner? I feel like alone would be awesome. But
yeah,
with,
alone for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but with someone else, I'd be like, get the fuck out of my room. You'd be like, it's one
it
room.
It made me think of your room at the house where you lived in the attic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was fun.
It was a special little place.
Yeah, it was really special.
Except I can imagine being drunk and trying to get up those stairs.
I fell down them once. I tried to carry a bookshelf up there when I was wasted. And then it fell backwards on me. I can't believe I didn't die. And it shattered everywhere.
Yeah, baby Tuck almost died when a bookshelf fell on him.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I should go to bed. Clean this up in the morning.
Under the bookshelf. oh, God. Which one do we want to talk about first? Other than none of them.
Let's start.
It's a little one. We have Arizona and Callie. That's in episode 2, though. Maybe.
What about?
Richard and Catherine? Should we just do it?
You know what one we forgot to add?
Tell me.
Jackson and Catherine bringing that girl.
The spy?
Yeah.
Perfect.
So we'll talk, maybe we'll talk about all of those.
Perfect. So Catherine is back in the hospital working on...
Growing a bladder.
Oh, right. Growing a bladder, which bladders look weird.
Yeah. I don't like how bladders look.
Perfect. Me either. Also, why did I write Weber snoring is everything to me? Where was he falling asleep?
I don't remember that.
Also, I just want to point out twice in this episode, or maybe it's the second one, Chief, I keep calling him Chief, Richard Weber says son. Like, he first calls Jackson, okay, actually it's in the second one, so I'm going a little bit off
That's okay.
beat. But he says to Jackson, he goes, try it, son, try and challenge me, when, like, they're trying to compete for the lion case.
Oh.
Which I just thought was funny, the way he said it to her. And then he also says it again to, I think, to the boy, or to the, what's the guy from Gilmore Girls? What the guy that got mauled by the lion is Paris's boyfriend.
Oh, that's Doyle?
Yeah, that's Doyle.
Oh, I didn't even know. Wow, good call.
You didn't catch that?
No.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's Doyle.
I think I wasn't really paying attention.
And he goes, son, you're a hero. So twice in one episode, Chief is calling people son.
Of course he is. Why wouldn't he be?
So anyways, I just feel like this is Chief's peak. Like, he's just like young stillish. Yeah. I don't know. It's a sad
I feel
episode.
Bad. So pretty much the whole storyline is Catherine is flirting with Richard.
Right.
So it's clear that they've, like, have a relationship.
Like a working relationship.
Yeah, and, like, they've known each other for a while.
Right.
And so they're very flirty, and she invites him to, like, a benefit. And then he agrees to go after, like, working with her all day, but then decides against it because of, I think, Bailey.
Yeah, so the scene that I really loved is he's trying to tie his bow tie. And he says, I'm a married man with a wife in a nursing mm-hmm. home. I love my wife, Bailey. And Bailey says, you're trying so hard to make sure she knows she's loved. Then she, like, helps him with the tie. And she says, you can give yourself a break. Everybody in this hospital flirts with everybody else. You're a good man. I know it. We all know it. There's flirting for fun and flirting for profit. And she points out that she's a little concerned that Catherine is
right.
flirting for profit.
Yes. And she says, like, I know that you
are flirting for fun.
Yeah. But I don't know about this other person.
Right.
And I love the quote I put that I really focused on was, you can give yourself a break, which I thought was really sweet. That Bailey said that. And Bailey, like, clearly, like, really cares for Richard and can see he's working his ass off to, like, visit his wife and, like,
work at the hospital.
Yeah, and, yeah. like, take care of her. And
yeah, it was just really sad to see. It's just interesting. Okay, so, like, talking about, well, let's talk about Richard and Catherine's conversation, and then let's compare New Grays to this.
Yeah.
So then he's all dressed so nice, too, and he shows up to her, and she's, like, so excited to see him. And then he says, I wrote it down. He says, my wife has Alzheimer's. She's in a care facility. I go see her every night. She usually doesn't know who I am. She knows I'm a friend, but she's not there. And I miss her. I miss laughing and talking. I miss feeling like a man, not just a friend. Anyway, today I wasn't lonely. Today I felt like a man and it felt good. So I don't trust myself going to dinner with you tonight, and my wife needs me and I need to see my wife. And I just thought that was, like, an incredible honesty, vulnerable moment for him.
For him, yeah.
Also, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna ask, before he says all of that, does Catherine realize he's still married and Adele is still alive? It's not brought up at all, right?
No, I think my assumption was that she thinks they're married, but not that she's, like, sick. Like, maybe that they're just unhappy or whatever. It's also so crazy to think about in contrast to current Grays right now, where she's accusing him of cheating on her.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, here is another example that, like, he could have cheated.
And he didn't.
And he didn't. So, like, his character, like, I know that he gets together with Catherine, like, doesn't, like, real soon. Like, as soon as Adele is dead, I'm pretty sure.
He gets together with her at the boards.
Right, okay.
Is that in 8 or 9? I can never remember. They're studying for the boards right now, so I feel like it has to be this season.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it happens soon. But I feel like, yes, he cheated on Adele with Ellis, but I don't feel like his character has changed since then. And it's sad to see in current Grays him, like, I was really proud of him for standing his ground and, like, wanting an apology and then, like, not giving in even though she wouldn't give one.
I totally agree. And I have something about about Catherine. Pretty much, I don't really know where it is, but I really I don't like her.
Yeah.
I don't like her character. I think she's a... Oh, here it is. Catherine Avery is a lot and has been from the beginning. I really do not like her character at all. So, like, in comparison to like current Grays, she's still very much a lot. But like she is a lot with Jackson, right, with Chief, like throughout this whole episode, since she has entered this show. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being a strong woman.
No, I feel like I love her, that part of her.
Yeah, but she won't bend on anything. Like,
right.
And I know we're not really should be talking about like current season, but the fact that she, out of spite of Richard, buys Pac North, buys a hospital.
Right.
So he will work where she wants him to work. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's really petty and like immature.
And super controlling.
Yeah. And so it's weird to see it starting this early, mm-hmm. which I do feel like she accepts with grace, like his, what's happening, you know? And she like gives him a hug and she's like, oh, I had no idea, you know, whatever. Yeah. But I agree with you. Like, I wish that they'd made, I love her being this strong, powerful surgeon, this like CEO, boss woman, whatever, like strong opinions. But I wish that with her relationships, she was a little bit more trusting and like, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see have like a, I love that it's like the Catherine Avery Award now, like all these things, but I like want her to not be an asshole.
Yeah, I agree.
So I just thought it was sweet that, and also like really self-aware of Chief.
Yeah.
Even though Bailey helped.
So Catherine is also there to
spy on her son.
Spy on her son and brings this beautiful woman, yep. Mara, I think is her yeah. name. And Jackson talks to Mark beforehand and kind of is like, okay, so what are we going to say when my mom wants my time? It's like, no, we're too busy. But then Mark sees this beautiful woman and is like, oh yeah, Jackson's free or whatever, because he wants him to bone her.
Yep, yep.
And I really liked her. I thought she was I kind of wish she was like on the show.
Yeah, I loved how she, like the way it was admitted that Jackson's like, wait, you're not a setup, you're a spy.
Yeah.
And then she admitted that like, yeah, she's doing this bitch work for Catherine when she should be doing research and whatever.
But she needs a grade and—
Right, and I loved the moment that Jackson coached her through telling Catherine that like she doesn't want to, she's not going to dinner tonight, she will not be her spy anymore. But then there was that moment where he's like, okay, you're done.
Yeah. Like, because she's like, you're going to want to stop right there. That's what Catherine says. And then Jackson's like, yeah.
Yeah. Stop right now.
Yeah.
But then they went and they had sex.
Mm-hmm. I said, Avery is going to get it on with Mara in the on-call room. Boom, boom.
Great quote. The on-call room. Boom, boom.
Oh, the boom, boom room. Yeah.
So yeah, that's all with them. I wonder when she
becomes—
Oh, that's
what we should change our podcast to.
What?
The on-call boom, boom room.
Like the Facebook group?
No, just like our podcast.
Oh, as a whole.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see when she becomes a full-time member. I think it's got to be next season maybe, or the one after that. But
instead
of just
like— I do
love all her long kimonos.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's like cool.
Yeah.
But she's also just a lot. And I think I just realized this episode, like, oh, she's been a lot from the very
beginning. Yeah, she's never— it's not like a new thing.
Yeah.
Great.
Moving on.
Should we talk about Karev?
Sure.
Because I hate this.
I do too.
The part when Meredith brought up, like, oh God, it's going to be like another Rebecca.
That was really funny.
And she called her, and okay, so Christina, first of all, they're all in April's office eating April's food.
Yes.
And then Meredith says to Alex, Alex, no, bad dog. And then they like bring up Rebecca, call her smashed up face.
Say that, and then she peed on my couch.
Right, and she's like, don't let this girl on my couch.
Yeah.
I think it's a great metaphor. I also think like only them could say that to Alex. And it's so true, he's doing it again. Like he's getting too close to a patient, or in this case, a patient's mom, but still like someone in the hospital. Because it's like he's not a bad person. I actually believe he's just trying to be there for her, but doesn't realize the effect it's having. Is like oblivious to that.
Yeah. Was it the first episode? Was it these episodes where he— I think it's the first episode where she has him get in the photo.
So awkward.
So awkward. It's like clearly she is having some feelings.
Isn't his name Chris, her boyfriend? Got Chris out of the photo and right added Alex.
Yeah, exactly.
And the way like Arizona too.
And Callie.
Oh yeah, they both like the way Callie's like, oh, does the whole metaphor about a gorilla and a kitten are best friends.
Yes,
and, like,
yeah.
The kitten is smitten, she says, like when they're taking the photo. Yeah, it's very, very awkward.
Yeah, I hate this storyline.
Yeah, it's not great.
No.
Also, like,
I guess this is just showing us, like, this is just who Karev is. Like, I don't know, like, crosses lines, doesn't have boundaries.
Right. Which is so funny, because either did Izzy, and he, like, hated her for that, but here yeah. it is. But I thought it was interesting. So he takes himself off the case because of Callie's advice.
Yes.
And tries to go, like...
cardio.
Right. Goes in cardio and just tries to go, like, cold turkey. Like,
right.
doesn't answer her text messages, which that fucking sound of that phone drove me crazy. I was like, turn the sound off, sir. But yeah, I guess because she's a doctor, she could page him. Maybe that's what it was.
I think he was being paged. Yeah.
And I love the scene. Jackson and Karev are with Christina while she's trying to build hearts. And Jackson says to him, "You are good at being a douche." And that's just one step closer to being dead. Like, and then Christina in that moment, we'll talk about, she's like very in her own head and like not putting up with their shit. And Jackson's like, "Be like that. You got to be like that."
Yeah. I did. So then he ends up like seeing Morgan. And she gets all mad at him. And he like tells her off. And my note about that was, I actually agree with everything that Karev is saying to Morgan. But he always says things like that so aggressively. Is pretty much the same
my
thing.
My note says, I think what Alex says the intern is right, but the tone he says it in is bad.
Exactly. Like, a lot of the time he speaks truth,
right.
but he does not know how to communicate.
Right.
He's very aggressive. And like, he could have said all of those things to her. He also didn't have to ghost her. He could have said those things to her.
Right away.
Right away.
Right. Ghosting was not the right move.
No. So he always tries to run away from his problems. And then he like freaks out when he's confronted with them.
Right. I feel 1,000% the same as you. And I loved the part.
And he's doing it again right now in current seasons. I know he left, but it really is.
Right. The same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No character growth. No. Nope. I love the part, though, when Arizona sort of says, I think, is it Arizona? That's like, you did the right thing.
Like, yeah, it pretty much tells him, like,
If hating you makes her be a good, tough mom, then great.
Yeah, because this baby's going to need a tough mom.
Right. Also, that was the whole idea about allowing natural death, A&D. I had never heard about that. That was really sad. It was also really sad to watch April learn about this, knowing that she has a kid that doesn't live, right? What happens to her first kid?
Yeah, doesn't live.
Yeah. So, like, it was weird. April was in the scene when they were explaining that. And I just kind of.
I'm just kind of surprised, though, that, like, as a doctor, you don't know about that.
Yeah. Like, well, she's an intern. Maybe they just.
Yeah. But April, even. Like, why wouldn't you know about
that? Yeah. I don't know.
Whatever.
But that was really sad. And also, I thought the way that Arizona explained it, though, was, like, so beautiful and, like, saying, like, if you choose surgery, we will do it. And we will do it to the best of our ability. But, like, giving her both, like, there's no wrong choice, pretty much.
Yeah. And she was really, Morgan was really mad about that and wanting
Karev. Like, are we there yet? Are we really there already?
And wanting Karev to make the choice for her. And it was like, you can't.
No.
I also really liked what he was saying, too, about, like, you're feeling bad for yourself looking at all these healthy babies. Like.
Right. Don't do that.
Yeah. Make a choice either way. But I'm not the one to make this choice for you.
Right. It was good. It was interesting.
Yeah.
I hope it's done now.
Yeah.
I feel like there's going to be like one more episode.
One or two. I can't even remember what happens to her.
Me either.
But I do think Alex was correct in asking to be taken off the case. I do think he should have communicated with Morgan. Done
the speech and then ghosted.
Yeah. And then ghost.
Let's talk about Arizona and Callie just because it was like kind of funny.
But oh, sure, yeah.
I, like, love this little... Again, like, season 8 is prime to me because Arizona and Callie are in such a good place.
They are.
It's really a bummer when it starts falling apart.
The plane crash, which is at the end of the season, is when they fall apart.
I'm very sad. I think that's in the second episode this all happens. Yeah. So it starts because there's this doctor who I was like, who the fuck is this? She's leaving and she's giving everyone a hug goodbye. And she like looks to Arizona and she's like,
yeah, this
like
is weird.
This weird, awkward moment. And she's like, can we hug? And Arizona's like, sure, bring it here, girl. And there's this like weird, long, intimate hug, not on Arizona's side, but the other girl's side.
Her name was Colleen. I was like, who the fuck is Colleen? And then I realized it was pushing a story, like some type of a storyline.
Yep, yep. And so then Callie approaches her and asks it how many exes in the hospital she has. So when she answers one or two, and she's like, oh, okay, great. Like, I can deal with that. And I love Chief's explanation.
Chief's so good.
He's like, when you ask an alcoholic how much they drink, they say they'll admit to one or two.
Yeah.
Which means it's much, much more.
Much, much higher. Yeah.
It was like today at my doctor's.
They tell you what you want to hear.
Right. And so, yeah, that means.
When you were at your doctor, what?
You know, they're like, do you drink? And you're, or like, do you partake in alcohol? And,
sometimes.
Yeah.
From time to time, like once a week.
Yeah.
I might have a glass of wine.
I never know how to answer that.
I always say, yeah, I drink wine. And then they'll be like 1 to 2 glasses. I'll be like, yeah.
And you're like, get off my back,
yeah,
mom.
Like 1 to 2 glasses. Like a week,
a
sure.
Night.
Sure. And then I'm like, in my head, like a bottle a night, but I'm not going to tell you that.
I also like, I take a CBD oil at night that has THC in it to make me sleep. Like I literally do it to the tiniest drop at night. And when they ask that, even though it's legal now,
no,
I was like, no, I've never partaken in the weed. Like, don't ask me.
The reefer. I'm so sorry.
Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, God. I was like, I'm not in trouble. I just always feel in trouble when they're asking me all those questions.
I know.
So, okay. So then, okay. I love the speech that Callie has with Mark. And she's like, oh, my God. She's dated so many women. Oh, well, actually, first, this Arizona and Callie at lunch. And Arizona's pointing out all of the women she's had relationships with.
She's like, she's not even gay. She's like, she was that night.
Right. And then there's the girl and like with her sister, but not at the same time.
Yeah.
Which I was like, love Arizona's confidence.
I did too. But also, I don't really know where my note is about it. But I
just
think
Arizona got around.
Oh, that was mine. I wrote Arizona got around. Okay, work, work.
Okay, work, work.
But we wrote the same notes.
That's incredible.
But I also had a note in my head of like, Arizona doesn't really seem like that type of person who gets around.
I like it though. She's like a closet one.
Yeah.
I mean, remember how she came on to Callie though?
That's very true.
I feel like that's just what she did to all of those women.
Yeah.
And they were like, yes.
Yeah. Cause she's hot as hell.
She scootered over in her little scooters.
In her wheelies. Yeah,
in her wheelies. So then there's that amazing speech where Mark like kind of slaps Callie into reality. And it's like, please remember that like Arizona has to look at the child that you and I made together.
Every day.
Yeah, every day. And then he says, it must be hard for Arizona. But everybody goes, I'm a god. It's killing her. He's like, because like, I'm no regular man. Like you made a baby with a god and it is killing her.
I feel like sad because I feel like Mark's storyline clearly is very dwindly right now. Like,
it gets,
you know, like he just, nothing seems like
substance.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, have you noticed that? Same with like Lexi. Like they're like there, but they don't seem like that
right
involved in things.
Well, even like, I feel like at least on Lexi's side, we're hearing how she feels.
Yes.
And like, we know that she still loves him. We don't know that he, like we assume maybe he would still love Lexi, but we don't know. God, it's gonna, that scene is coming up, that episode. I feel like it's next.
Yeah.
When she tells him
I think
how
it
she
has
feels.
To be because the second episode, she, you can,
they're
should we
elevator
talk about this?
Yeah, let's just talk about them.
Okay, so Lexi, well, we'll get to the part where Lexi like fucks up with Derek.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second.
But at one point in the next episode, she's working with Derek again and she cannot like get out of her head about Mark because she was in the back of the elevator when Mark was talking to Derek about Julia and if they should move in together.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And so then Derek is kind of like, what's going on, Lexi? And she was just like, talks to Derek like a big brother. And he's like, what should I do about the Mark thing? Blah, blah, blah. And
what are you going to tell him? Like, you're not going to tell him to move in together. And then I love when she's like, because she's getting old and close to menopause and she has thinning hair, I've noticed.
Yeah. And then Derek just kind of looks at her and she's like, we don't talk like this. He's like, we don't talk like this.
Which is a little shitty. But
yeah. But then.
Then again.
Then she does it again. And then he's like, I am not your big brother today. Like, I am not your friend. Like, I am your attending and you are my resident. And she, I like that she was like, you're absolutely right. Like, we're at work.
Yeah.
I'm going to be your resident. But then he extends a hand in surgery to her and says like.
He says, the only thing that, he goes, Mark has always been an easy to read person. The only thing that could change that is if he knew he still had a shot with you. He's happy with the eyeball doctor. Make sure you want him back because you love him, not because he is with someone else.
I really like that. Make sure you want him back because you want him or love him. Yeah, because he's happy. Not whatever. Okay. So then.
Also earlier in that second time she tries to talk to him, she literally says, what if Mark is my soulmate?
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, we're getting towards the end.
Yeah.
Like, this is it.
That tension in the elevator was so thick.
Oh, yeah.
And then, it, like, walking to the parking lot, like, oh, yeah. And then I thought it might be this episode, and I was so mad. I was like, no, Lexi, go with him. Why do you, don't go back up the thing.
He's like, lobby? And she's like, yeah, walking to the parking lot.
Like, yeah, and then she's like, oh, I forgot some, or I got to chart something. And I was just like, no.
And she looks so good, too. She got those great bangs.
I know. Oh, but I mean, like, I get it. Like, how hard would that be to tell someone who's in another relationship, like, I fucked up.
Right.
Like, I left twice.
Right.
And I want to be with you now.
Right. So. Oh, God. You know he'd be like, okay, great.
Yeah. But, oh, it's hard.
It's also sad, though, too. Even if they'd gotten together now, they'd still go on the plane together.
And they'd still die.
So.
Maybe they would have found a way for them to leave the show happily. Like, maybe they would, like, go to a different hospital.
Quit their careers, move to an island.
Something like that. Okay. So, we have some bigger ones. We can talk about...
Teddy's the last small one. It's not small, but kind of. We can talk about the sad old couple and Teddy.
Yeah. So, Teddy, in the second episode, starts out by being at a grief group.
Which is... I love this scene.
I was like, whoa, Teddy.
She's... fucking laughing at everything. And that woman is talking about how her husband had minor cardiac something. And she's like there's no, which was a little shamey that basically Teddy was like, if he had that, he's basically a dead man walking. Like, like she's in a bad place.
Oh, yeah. I was like, this is not good. But the big thing from that grief group was the counselor told them at some point to say it out loud privately to themselves, like, I am a widow.
Right.
And then Teddy's like giggling the whole time. Clearly, not processing. Well, maybe that's the way she is processing.
She's like Izzy at George's funeral.
Yeah, like grieving in a very complicated way.
Right. Then she's working with this lovely Emma and Martin.
And I want to say that in there, Emma says, please don't make me a widow.
Ooh, she says it.
She says that line. And I was like, oh, shit. She's saying this to Teddy. And they were supposed to go on this cruise together. And I almost said, and then they ended up dancing. But that was the new...
That's the other couple.
Yeah.
Very confusing, I know.
Super confusing.
But basically, Teddy works so fucking hard.
One of my notes is, like, she is, like... good at her job. Hell yeah. Like
even Karev was like, cause she says during the surgery, all of a sudden she's like, everybody, no one move a muscle. And she's like doing something. And then she's like, oh my God, I did it. And Karev's like, holy shit, you did it. Like whatever she needed to do.
And then she goes to tell Emma.
She's diagonal. If someone is laying diagonal, they're not alive.
Or they're really drunk.
Yeah, we're really drunk. It was so fucking sad.
Dude, and then when she had to go tell
Martin.
When she had to
tell Martin, and he just kept going, my Emma.
I know.
Oh, God, Emma.
My note is, oh, Jesus, Mrs. Carroll died. What the fuck? I don't remember that happening.
Can you imagine waking up from surgery to learn that you're alive? But your fucking other person is not.
Yeah.
The lion killed her too.
Yeah, I know.
It's so sad. It was honestly like, it's weird because you'd think dead people dying naturally would be the least sad way on the show because like they've lived full lives and they died in their sleep. But it's so devastating, an old married couple.
I know. And then Teddy goes into the bathroom and her saying, I am a widow out loud is so sad.
Yeah, and she's like, she's crying and it like finally hits her. I'm sad she gets like interrupted by a page.
Yeah.
I wanted that breakdown to be a little longer.
Yeah.
Like I was on the verge of tears and I wanted to like really dive deep.
Yeah. But I'm proud of her that she went and said that she's a widow.
I do feel like this is the end of that storyline.
Yeah.
Like now that she has come to terms with it.
Well, she leaves soon.
Oh, really?
And for a couple seasons. Remember?
Where does she go though? I always forget.
Germany. Germany? Yeah.
Fuck. Did she leave before Christina?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, she leaves. I think she might leave at the end of this season.
Damn it. I'm also like, again, contrasting current with this Grace. And I don't want to, this version of Teddy, like, where did she go? Like, they don't focus on her badassery of surgery anymore. Like, it's all about her storyline with Owen. Being pregnant and Owen. And I want Teddy doing, like, amazing surgeries, like, bossing people around. Like, I want that Teddy back.
Yeah.
It sucks that that's not the focus anymore. Really, don't you feel like in Grey's lately, there's not a lot of surgery?
I do feel that way.
It's a little more soap opera-y, but.
But also, I'm gonna, like.
No, please.
Push back a little bit. I do appreciate her storyline about feeling like a bad mom and not doing it well. And then she ends up, like, Owen stays home and she goes back to, you know. That's true. Think that was important to, like, show that. So she might not be as, like, badass, but she, like, is.
That's true. Don't you feel like there's more characters or something now? Like, I feel like
something's not right.
We don't see her that much. Like.
No, we don't.
I don't like these episodes. It must be budget cuts. These episodes with, like, two people in it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I bet the viewership is way down.
Oh, I'm sure. So, it's like 1,000 people watching.
And Ellen Pompeo is making all of the money.
And she's not even in half the episodes.
She doesn't care.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay.
Okay, so should we talk about Derek and Meredith and Neuro and leave Christina to last?
Yes, I have one random note, which I just need to share, that Jake was watching the second episode with me, like, sort of. And Jackson was on a scene and he goes, he has pretty eyes.
Who?
Jackson.
Oh.
And I go, you're right.
He does.
And I was like, yeah, that's one of the things we love about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just love that Jake was like, wow, he has really pretty eyes.
Oh, Jakey boy.
Okay, so Meredith and Derek, right?
And I would say Lexi as well.
Okay, yeah. So first of all, Mer and Derek are in a bathtub again.
Oh, yeah. I said, oh, bathtub Mer and Dare.
I wrote, he wants her back in neuro. And then I wrote, he is bipolar. I don't mean, okay, sorry.
Come back to me.
I shouldn't use that term.
Come back to me.
He is so wishy-washy. Back and forth and wishy-washy. Yeah, like he forgets how he feels in certain situations and then tries to do the opposite thing.
Yeah. So he's clearly like very in love with Mer right now. Like life is good and
we
cool.
Have a baby.
And like, let's work together again too, because that seems like a great idea.
Right.
So she decides to go back on a service for like a day. Well, at first she
doesn't
objects.
Even decide. He just puts her.
Yeah. And she objects. She's like, no, we shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do this. And then he puts her on his service. And they're working with a woman who has a cyst in her brain. And I said, she seems like a very positive patient for having a cyst in her brain.
Yeah.
And like going into brain surgery, she was like, great. And then I'll just like pop right out and cool. I was like, if I was going into brain surgery, seem a little more nervous.
Right.
Whatever.
Also.
And you know what? She should have been.
She definitely should have. So Lexi and Meredith are working on her. Why does Derek leave them alone?
He got like paged to another surgery.
To
like
the baby, right?
I think so, an emergency surgery.
So Little Gray and Big Gray are operating together. It's super cute. When she pulled, I think, what was the skull flap out, I said it looked like she pulled a slice of potato out of that girl's head. Lexi just like, oh, boop, 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 I did it right. And I was like, what the fuck was that?
Then something kind of like goes off.
Well, they see the tumor, which the monologue is like, even though a tumor, it's still a tumor.
Right. But I feel like at one point they extend the craniotomy. Lexi and Mary are doing this surgery together. They have to extend it because something's going wrong with like the cyst part. And that's how they see the tumor.
Right. And they're like, wow, it's right there.
Yeah.
There it is. And then.
And at first Lexi's like, should we take it out? And Meredith is like, we should talk to Derek.
Right. And they try paging him.
Twice.
Yep.
Which doesn't seem like that many times.
No. But don't you think you'd answer a page?
Yeah. And also if you've taken out a tumor before, like you just took out a cyst.
Right.
And it was like right there. I don't know.
But what does the monologue say? It says, it's still a tumor. It's still dangerous and it can bite. We've all heard the warnings. We've ignored them. We push our luck. We roll the dice. We play with fire. It's human nature. We're told not to touch something. We usually do it even though we know better.
Right.
So Lexi takes it out.
And
then a horrifying scene ensues.
Well, and then like Derek is all pissed off at Meredith and it's like, you better hope that this shit is okay. And Meredith's like, it's going to be fine. She did a great job. She had clear margins. And he's like, I think an important thing that Derek said was like, she did not consent to that surgery. She did not consent to us taking that tumor out. And then the Jumanji drums hit.
It's honestly fucking terrifying.
Aphasia. I have I know someone who someone in their family had a stroke and now has aphasia.
I know someone that had that as well.
And it's very,
very sad. Yeah.
And they're quite young.
You can comprehend everything.
Yeah. You just can't
vocalize it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a horrifying moment. And I thought, I'm very torn on things because like Derek has every right to be mad. It's his patient and the wrong surgery was performed. Mm. But also like, where the fuck was he? Like, and shouldn't it have been so clear before it started? Like, Lexi, we are not taking the tumor out. Like, how was that even a question?
Right.
So anyways, there's that scene when Meredith says to Lexi, like, he's going to scream at you. Like,
oh yeah, I have, and this is not exactly what it says, but it's pretty much, you're not going to cry right now. You're going to go talk to Derek and he's going to yell and scream at you and be mad and disappointed. And he won't look at you for days, but you're just going to take it. It was like something like that. Yep. And you will move on and you will never make this mistake again.
Right.
Which like, I thought that was such a good, like, oh God. Because well, at first Meredith was like, this will break
Lexi. Right.
We can't tell her. And Derek was like, no, she has to know. So then she has to like pump up Lexi to be like, you're not allowed to cry.
Right. And I thought it was, I loved how they filmed like Derek's, well, again, I just, again, like Derek had every right to be mad. A patient literally now has no ability to speak because of what she did.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like he's a terrible teacher in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved how Meredith made eye contact with Lexi during the screaming. Mm-hmm. And it was just like an understanding of like, you got this.
Yeah.
So then there's actually a quite lovely scene with Derek and Mare in bed at night. And Derek is just like laying there and he doesn't want to talk.
He won't even look at her.
He won't look at her. And then she's like, do you want to do something to distract, AKA sex? And he says, no. And then she's like, do you want me to leave? And he says, no. And they just like lay there.
And then he, I think they grab hands.
Yeah, which I appreciate. Like he's not a total robot.
Yeah, and before that happens, Meredith says like, see, this is why we can't work together. You can't even look at me right now.
Right.
And he was like, I think he realized.
That she can't.
He was like, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
So
it's a bummer because I feel like normally she's good at neuro.
Yeah. And then Lexi ends up working with Derek. He like puts her right back on to like clip an aneurysm. And she's like, what? And he was like, you still need to learn. And we're jumping back in.
Yep.
So.
Oh God.
And then we already talked about the thing with her talking to Derek in regards to Mark.
Yep.
So I feel like.
Now we have basically just. Just last Derek Meredith thing. So the beginning of the second episode started with Zola roaring and there was the lion. Yes, Zola, that's the sound a lion makes. And then I loved that last scene in the second episode, Derek like does it roar. And she's like, never do that again. And then, or she says, don't do that. And then we'll talk about this moment, but she says to him, if you ever cheat on me, I'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, okay. And he never does.
Yeah. He almost does.
You're right. And he does die.
Yeah. So.
I don't know what's worse.
I'm not quite sure.
Would you rather?
Would you rather have someone cheat on you or die? That's a really hard one. I'm not going to answer.
I'm going to say cheat on me.
Sometimes when you get cheated on, it does feel like the person died.
Oh, fuck. Okay. So just life insurance policy that I'd rather be rich and alone. Just kidding. No one's going to kill Jake. Okay.
All righty.
Back to Christina and Owen, our happy couple of the year.
Yeah, they really take it, don't they? Okay, so I said, my first note is Christina snooping.
Yes.
And I said, oh no, there's that nurse. Christina is not in a good space.
No, she's angry.
No, she is like walking in the on-call room, waking up Owen saying, I brought you coffee, but there's no coffee. Like, and then when she leaves the on-call room, there goes, I think her name's
Emily.
Emily. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I said I don't like this nurse, even though like I know she ends up not being the one he's cheating on her with. She's still
annoying.
Annoys me.
Yeah.
So basically there's this sweet, sweet old like patient or his husband. He's dying. The husband is—
He's dead.
Or he's— Yeah. And like the husband has to decide to like take him off of life support. And he panics, which that scene was so, so sad. He just isn't ready yet. Christina is working with Emily on this thing and they're like, have opposite opinions of what, how mm-hmm. it should be handled. So that is just like one way for them to access their like issues pretty much. One really thing that I did like is when it's before she explodes on Emily and it, like, accuses her of cheating on her with Owen, is the part when she uses science to explain to the guy's name is Sam how gone his husband is.
Yeah.
She says, she's just like, this stopped the moment the car hit. Like, even though you did not see him get carried away in a bag, like, he is just as dead as if that would have happened. Again, it's like the same thing as Karev. Like, what they're saying is perfect. Sometimes how they say it is a little bit jarring.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was really sad, but I think it was really,
necessary
because he ends up saying like, thank you.
Yeah. She says, I didn't know him. You did, but I would have imagined you would have wanted to have that comfort. He would have wanted you to have that comfort.
Yeah. And then he's like, get me the paperwork. They're in there. And then he is talking to his husband about like, this is why it took so long for us to like move in together and get married and all these things, because this is what I was afraid of. You thought I was afraid of commitment. I was afraid of loving you this much. And Christina, clearly going through shit, leaves the room. And Emily chases after her and like is like, kind of like, are you okay? Or is there something I can do? I think she says, is there something I can do? And she said, can you stop screwing my husband? And I just went, oh, fuck.
Yeah. And we find out that Emily did not sleep with her, but flirts with everyone.
Which, whatever. And she's like, I have a boy. I was like, this is so embarrassing for Christina.
Yeah.
Like, this is...
Right.
This is not cool that she just did that. And she's like, I flirt. It's how I get through my shift. Like, I moved to nights because my boyfriend. And then she's like, I have a boyfriend. Do you want to look at my text messages? Like,
yeah.
When she was doing that, I was like, oh, God, this is so embarrassing for Emily. This is so embarrassing for Christina. This isn't good.
Yeah. And then we get to a scene in the loft. And Christina asks Owen, where are you?
And oh, that like, scene was so painful.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm right here. And she's like, no, you're not. Like, you're not here. Which, first of all, Christina's sleep set is beautiful. It's like a matching cardigan and a tank top. And I'm forever going to try to find something to look that chic when I go to bed. Owen says, I love you so much that it hurts.
And she's like, pleased to hear that he still, at first, that he still loves her.
Right. She like scooches closer.
Yeah.
And then Christina tells Owen about accusing Emily that he cheated. And I love this line. She says that her whole body tells her that he's been cheating, like this feeling. And I've never had that specific thing happen to me, but I have had like gut feelings that are usually always right. And like that, I understand that like it, you feel it in your body, like something isn't okay. He says, it hurts to love you again. And then he says, I'm not cheating on you with Emily, but I did cheat on you.
Yeah. I think it's important that like, is it before she says the thing about Emily? She's like, okay, like we're okay, whatever. And he said, no, I didn't say I love you. Like I said, it hurts to love you. There's also, if you look, watch back, like when they're talking, he's sitting on the bed and I have a note of like Owen sitting there and behind him is like this really intense darkness. Like the lighting is really powerful. Yeah. Like he's really illuminated and it's very dark. Like he's clearly going through some shit. And that last part when he said, I did cheat on you, I said, Sandra Oh's acting
is good.
Like, it's incredible. Like that, like guttural, like, oh shit.
Right, right. Even like the quick way that when he says it hurts to love you the first time, you can see the relief in her face. And then, yeah, like how it changes. Again, she says no words. It's just her face.
And then the episode ends.
Yeah.
Which the second episode ends on them as well.
Right.
But.
Yeah, so the second episode, Christina is alone in like a lab, literally making little tiny hearts.
Which there's this part that I feel like this is a metaphor. I think it's Krev or it's Avery or someone's in there. Oh, no, it's Meredith.
Meredith.
And said, making new hearts from scratch. And I was like, that's a metaphor.
Yeah. Let's talk about Meredith and Owen.
Yeah.
So,
because pretty much this whole episode, Christina's alone.
Right.
Like, clearly processing while making.
Alone, not telling others what happened.
Yes, didn't tell Meredith.
Right. And so Owen is sort of like approaches Meredith in surgery and is just like, whoa, that's my impression of.
Yeah, that's exactly what he does.
I didn't write down what he said.
I didn't either. Did you write down what she says?
Well, not her exact quote.
Oh.
He admits that he cheated on her.
Yeah. So he doesn't, like, they're scrubbing in. And before that, too, Meredith kind of says something like, just give Christina time. Like, she'll come around. And then he wants, like, more from her and, like, starts to kind of tell her that he cheated. Right. And she tells him, like, fuck, stop.
Yeah.
Said, later on, she says, like, she knew I would hate you and she doesn't want me to hate you. It means she's going to forgive you or she's going to find a way to forgive you. And she didn't want me to know, which I was like, oh God.
That's so important because it's so true. I've been
in that position. I've had friends who have been in that position.
Yeah, because you know if you tell your friend that, they're going to side with you and they're going to convince you not to be with that person or whatever. And so keeping it to yourself allows you to make a choice.
Solely based on what you want to do and what's best for your relationship.
Right. And so I love Meredith's actual not diving into it and not being like, wait, what happened? What'd you do? She's like, this is not coming from the mouth that I want to hear it from. So don't tell me anymore. Like, I just, again, what a fucking sign of true friendship.
Yeah. Meredith and Owen do not do well in that surgery together.
No.
Which I just, a little side note, Bailey's cracking me up the whole time. She's very upset about the lion thing. She's not having it with the lion lady.
Where did I write that? And she's like, I'm going to save this woman so that when she wakes up, I can tell her just how crazy she is.
Owen drops the bomb. I don't know if you realize when they're like showing Christina towards the end with the hearts and like, fuck it, you can tell she's trying to process. The song is so epic. The lines are, you're still a liar and words are not enough. That's what's playing underneath it. Yeah, it's real good.
It's just so shitty because you know Owen wanted to hurt her as bad as he felt hurt by her. Ugh, it's just a recipe for disaster. So then they are, I love this scene. They are sitting at their dinner table.
Wait, before that, Bailey says to Owen.
Oh, yeah.
Because Owen gets kind of like, Owen apologizes, I think, to Bailey and stuff and is upset. And Bailey says, affairs don't happen in a vacuum. You're human. You made a human mistake. You did a terrible thing. It doesn't mean you're a terrible person. Mm-hmm. Which I thought, like, I am not happy with Owen, but I do think it's nice that Bailey, like, recognizes, like, yeah, this is fucking shitty, but this doesn't mean the core of you is a shit person.
I also think it's true, like, in general.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, unless you're, like, a serial, like, crazy person, you know what I mean?
That
just fucks anyone all the time while you're with someone. But like, I feel like in this situation, it doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Yeah.
So then Owen comes home, Christina's eating cereal. He sits across from her, he has fucking chopsticks. He's eating like sushi or something.
No words are spoken.
No words. And at first I was like, oh great, they're just sitting and eating in silence. And Christina, honestly, like the best acting, that had to have been one take. Like, chucks her cereal at his face.
It's, I wrote, oh God, I love this scene with the cereal. Sick. God, the tension in my last note was, woo!
Can you imagine, like, I mean, I can actually, but being so angry that you just like, bah!
Yeah.
I really, what would have made it one step better is if he would have continued to eat.
Yeah. I like, he kind of drops his things or whatever. I also like that he doesn't really react because I think he can tell like, I deserved that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like, I kind of feel like it's almost like a, okay, maybe we're going to get somewhere because like, you're showing how you really feel about this.
Right. I do wish we could have kept seeing what happened.
Yeah. Like, but it's just such, it's such an iconic scene. I like the, I love that scene so much. It's one of my favorite scenes of Grey's.
Also, cereal at someone's face, like you have the pieces, the milk.
Oh my God. It's one of my favorite scenes.
His act of shock too. Like, can you imagine if a bowl of cereal?
Have you ever thrown food at someone?
No. I've never thrown anything at Jake. Maybe I should start. He's never made me mad enough to throw anything at him.
I don't know that I've ever thrown food at anyone, but I've definitely...
I'd love
I've thrown a drink in someone's face. Yeah, I really have done that. At a bar.
Well,
twice.
That's on my bucket list.
Yeah. It's really fun, but then you're like then shaking afterwards and you're like, oh, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
I was gonna say, my move would have to be do that and run the fuck
out. Yeah, like get the fuck out right now.
Just answer this. Was it at Billy's?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was at the one time. Well, no, there was two different things. One time I threw a drink. That was at the meanwhile. And one time I poured a beer on someone's head and that was at Rocky's. It was the same person. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
The pouring is.
Oh, yeah. Just slow. Right over. Yeah. And then dropped it. And that time I did walk out the door. It was pretty epic. I was pretty drunk.
Perfect.
Do we have...
I have some stray notes. Yeah, so do I. Lighter things. I wrote, Catherine fixed the lady's bladder and now she won't pee. Maybe I need the surgery. I pee my pants a lot.
You need to do your intentional Kegels. But they're like, you have to like learn the right way to do them.
It's not like, actually, it's not so much I pee my pants. It's that the second I drink something, I have to
pee. You have to pee. Well, you can't have a baby because then you're just going to pee your pants.
I think I have a small bladder. Is that possible?
But I'm sure you could maybe strengthen those. It's probably those bladder muscles.
Because it doesn't feel it by my, like, by where my bladder, it feels it.
It feels it. Like, by your urethra? By your...
Yeah, I also wonder if it's, like, anxiety-ish. Like, if I pee before I go to bed, but then I read for an hour, I have to pee again. Because
you're like, what if I have to wake up in the
morning? Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It's like hide-and-go-seek all the time in my life.
Hide and go see.
Remember how bad you have to pee when you're hiding?
That's kind of
It doesn't even matter if you have to. You just think you do.
Yeah. Or like the minute you sit down for a movie and 5 minutes in it. Like you're like, oh.
Well, let's remember how many times
we peed during Star Wars. We both peed, I think, 4 times. Yeah.
I ran so fast.
Yeah. I ran into someone that day. Smacked into them leaving the bathroom.
We'll take turns.
I have a quote about Catherine Avery Fox, that she has no sense of boundaries, says, yeah, she does. She just hates boundaries. I was like, oh, damn.
That's good.
Yeah.
The woman that she brought as her spy when her and Jackson are about to bang, she goes, I'm really not that hungry. I was like, I've never said that before going on a dinner date. Like, if someone was like, hey, let's grab dinner whenever, I've never said, I'm really not that hungry. I'd rather have sex first. I'm always like, great, let's go get some food.
Let's go eat something. I have, this lady had a lion. That is wacky.
Yeah, I go, OMG, a lion.
Also, a lion tooth. Chief is very excited.
Oh, yeah, that scene where he brings Jackson in to see all of the things that they pulled out, and he says it's mostly the idiots.
The Christmas lights. He's like, you don't want to know.
Anal beads, yo.
Yeah.
And then when he's like, how did you? Very carefully. I also liked right in the beginning, Meredith and Derek are in the car. And she says, when the house is done, just bring me out for a big reveal. And I was like, I feel that. Like, if I had the choice of just like having my house be built and I could just show up, I would also choose that.
Would you though, Abby? I feel like you would have to have control of the situation.
Either I get to make every decision with no monetary, I like that. Or I make none. I don't want to like be kind of involved.
Okay.
Either let me be the boss or just
don't include me.
Yeah. I think I would actually like to be surprised. No one just ever does that. They think I need to know. Kind of like if Jake was like, hey, we're going on vacation and I'm planning it, I'd be like, excellent, go for it. But it's like, I'm planning a vacation. Do you know where we should stay? That's what I don't like.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense.
Great. The line Bailey had about the lion, she has a lion for a pet. It tried to eat her and it tried to eat other people because it is a lion. We are going to save that lady's life just so I can tell her she's crazy.
Because it is a lion.
And then I just have that lion girl's mad. And her quote is, that lion is braver than any of us.
That lion girl is out of control.
It lived in a 2-bedroom apartment?
Yeah, out of control.
Insane.
That's like mean to the lion.
What if you were neighbors?
With a lion?
Yeah. Also, I can't believe you didn't recognize Doyle.
I really think I wasn't paying attention. I think I was either typing or like doing something like on my phone or something at that part. I didn't care about that storyline.
I even Googled it because I was like, I know him. And then I realized. Hmm. So, all right.
Okay. I'll do the first one.
These are in order, I think. Yeah, sure. You read those 2 sentences.
Well, I just figured I'd give you the longer
one. Well, thank you.
One step too far. Oh, this is notes and trivia, everyone.
Yes, welcome.
This episode's title originated from the song, One Step Too Far, originally sung by Faithless, and the episode scored 9.62 million viewers.
The Lion Sleeps Tonight. This episode's song title originated from the song Lion Sleeps Tonight, originally sung by The Tokens. The episode scored 8.19 million viewers. The number of Arizona exes seemed to be unrealistic, considering the short time that she spent at the hospital before having started a relationship with Callie. However,
maybe it's not.
Yeah, I was going to say rude. However, it is unknown how long Arizona had been at the hospital since she was introduced to the viewers as new character, not introduced as a new doctor. Okay, that's stupid.
That's like slut-shaming.
Yeah. Goof. Christina is using the pipette wrong around 16 minutes and 32 seconds. She should use the two notches only when she is emptying the tool, not when she fills it.
Interesting. Great.
Great.
Who the fuck did that? Catherine Fox Award.
God.
That's a hard one. I don't feel like anyone deserves it.
The lion for escaping?
Yeah.
Maybe Richard?
Richard has gotten so many. I feel confident about that. Or...
A little bit Christina for, like, finally, like, approaching Emily, trying to fix it with Owen and then throwing cereal in his face. I don't know, though. Teddy for coming to terms.
Or Meredith for telling Owen to leave her out of it.
Ooh, I like that.
You know, like, clearly she didn't want to talk to me about this, so don't talk to me about it. Like, I feel like that's really, I don't think I could do that. I think I would be like, tell me all the things.
Yeah, I think
she's not talking to me. I want to know from you.
Right. Yeah, let's give it to Meredith.
Okay.
Meredith for...
But she did kind of fuck up with helping Lexi get the tumor out.
She also didn't know, though. Derek didn't tell her.
Yeah. Okay.
She handled it well and was there for him afterwards, even though...
Yeah. I like Mare.
I'm just writing for being Christina's person.
Okay, rate the episode.
I was bored.
I was too.
Like, I like the Christina Owen scenes.
Like, if the Christina Owen scenes, 10 out of 10 scalpels for me. Right, true.
But everything else, like a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, so I'm going to give it a 6.
Same.
But can I rate that one scene 10
yes,
with the cereal?
I'm going to write that.
Okay.
For both. 10 out of 10 for the scene with Christina and Owen. Great. Well,
please remember to review and subscribe to the podcast. We're on Spotify.
Yeah.
Tell all your friends. Support us at www.patreon.com/theoncallroom.
Follow us on Instagram at theoncallroompod.
And
we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
We're almost
done with
season 8.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's very sad.
Cool.
Love you all. It's a beautiful day to drink wine podcast. Hope you have a great day at work.
And time of death is 2109.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.